Good morning. I could hear something humming. It's the blinds. It's the blinds. It's good to see you this morning. A good morning to people who are online as well. And I think I'll just hand over to Alison to take us through some intimations.
Church is taking part in Warm Spaces Initiative once again. The church will normally be open on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 until the end of March. Next Thursday falls on a holiday, so there is a break, but events resume on the 9th of January when the Sanctuary Cinema will show the film Whiskey Galore, the original version. This film starts at 2 o'clock. Holy Communion, we will celebrate communion on Sunday the 19th of January.
And that's it.
And for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
So let's sing the first of our hymns, hymn number 305, In the Bleak Midwinter. Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive these gifts. Bless all that we offer to you. Use it in the work of your church and to your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Rosemary is now going to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Loving God, it is easy for us around the days of Christmas to remember the moment the divine touched this fragile earth and in humility uttered his first cry. It is harder in our daily lives to remember the moment you touched our fragile hearts in graceful love. The wise men follow a star on a long and arduous journey to the place where Jesus lay. While shepherds were back in their fields, the town's visitors all gone, and life was back to normal, but for the presence of the long-hoped-for Messiah, a precious child not noticed by most who passed by. For all who have journeyed and found the Saviour, we give thanks, and we pray that those who have silently passed by might one day return and find the one who has waited patiently for them. Gracious God, in a humble stable ignored by all within Bethlehem's walls, the divine touched the earth, breathed the air that we breathe, and walked the ground that we walk, born to sacrifice, born to bring us love. Forgive our reluctance, Father Lord, to proclaim this to the world. Forgive our ingratitude when we often disregard your word as we come to you in a moment of quietness now with our own thoughts and confession. Merciful Father, bring us to that place where shepherds heard the angels sing and send us out to share that glorious song. Circle us now with the light of your presence as we come together in saying the words that Jesus first taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
In many ways, what we're doing is continuing the story of Christmas as life, in some ways, goes to normal for Mary and Joseph as they go to, as Jesus is circumcised, and then as they go to the temple for the purification rites that were required. It's that business of life taking on its normal shape following all the excitement of Christmas. The shepherds are back on the hillside, and Mary and Joseph are beginning to look after a child. So, Rob is going to read to us a couple of verses, then a little jump, and then the remainder of that story in Luke chapter 2.
The readings from the New Testament Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and then 25 to 38. And it's entitled Simeon and Anna. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Down the road in Limekilns, somebody said to me at the end of the service that they really enjoy singing in the bleak midwinter. They think it's a really nice hymn or carol to sing, and by Christina Rossetti. And I just said off the cuff, yes, she did write one of the other ones too. And they said, yes, the next carol you chose was also Christina Rossetti. So we're having a bit of a Rossetti Christmas celebration, I suppose, in that we're going to sing Love Came Down at Christmas, also written by the same author as our first hymn. A kind of strange point in time, this midway point between Christmas and New Year, and you never know what kind of strangeness you're going to find. I don't know if people think I've got a problem, but there's a toilet roll in the pulpit. You never know what you're going to find in church. So here we are at this point where thoughts about Christmas are beginning to fade and thoughts about New Year are looming. The question about where, when and who of Christmas turned to questions about New Year. In my household, 31st December and 1st January, Hogmanay and Nerdy have become rather muted celebrations. I tend to stay up to see the new year in, but it's a very peculiar evening, because any other evening, I can find it's midnight before I know it. I'm most definitely an owl and not a lark. Getting up in the morning is a desperate thing, but convincing myself to go to bed is equally desperate. But on Hogmanay, it gets to about 10:30 and I think, well, better stay up and see the new year in. And every time you look at the clock and go, that's just 5 minutes gone by. And then, of course, there's usually a drink and I'll text the family or usually WhatsApp or whatever, just to say a happy new year, and duty's done and I can go to my bed. The celebration associated with Scotland that was once such a big thing is now well in the past. It was already dying out in my youth. Even then, it seemed strange to hear my dad talking about Christmas Day as a working day and a rather muted celebration, and New Year as the big celebration in Scotland. My only real taste of what had been was in my early teenage years when we were up in Elgin with my granny, and my granny, like many women, sat in her house, awaiting those who would call, and they would give a gift and they would be given a dram, and it was very clear in that bit of New Elgin just where power lay, and it lay with these women. They ran the place. You could have transported it to Sicily, and instead of the godfather, you've got the godmother. And my granny was certainly one of those. I was there when I was old enough to stay up, and it was a fascinating experience, not least because the house had been scrubbed from end to end. Anybody still clean the house so that there's no dirt taken from one year to the next? And that included blackleading the fireplace. It was a very different time. As I was thinking about New Year past and those celebrations that once were so much part of Scottish heritage, it crossed my mind, why the 1st of January? When did it all start? Why does the calendar year begin on the 1st of January? You might think from a Christian perspective it would be 25th December. But even the church doesn't do that. In terms of worship, the church year begins on the first Sunday of Advent. If you're thinking about money, there is the financial year, which for many companies can begin and end in all sorts of times. But we know that our tax year runs from April to March. And then when it comes to us personally, we calculate the years by birthdays and by anniversaries. And in fact, I had a perfect example down the road because there was a couple in church and this was their 49th wedding anniversary. So you think, that's another way of calculating. So when did the 1st of January become the beginning of the year? I discovered that it's the Romans who were responsible. And according to tradition, this goes back to a Roman king of the 7th century BC, and he moved the year beginning from March to January. There is evidence, that's just tradition, there is evidence that 1st of January was established as the beginning of the Roman year in the year 153 BC. And another date that is fairly well set in history is when Julius Caesar revised the calendar, 1st of January was definitely down as the beginning of the new year in the year 46 BC. Although he didn't call it 46 BC for some reason. Sorry, that's just another Christmas cracker joke. After the fall of Rome, Some folk reverted back to a March date for New Year. Others in countries where Christianity had been adopted opted for 25th December. And then if you go through the story, there are all the issues to do with the Julian and Gregorian calendars. And if you want to know that stuff, just go and look it up. In our secular society, we've kind of amalgamated Christmas and New Year to form a kind of holiday. If you listen to people, they say, what are you doing for Christmas and New Year? They're kind of interlinked. I suppose there are two markers within a fortnight or 10 days of holiday. There are two particular markers for meeting with family, friends, neighbours, and so on. Or maybe you could say it's that time where we go from Christmas rush to New Year hangover. Whatever kind of hangover that is, whether you've eaten too much, drunk too much, or spent too much. However, when we get to the 12th day of Christmas, many folk are truly ready, even longing for the return of some kind of normality. There are folk who are a bit Scrooge-like in their approach to Christmas, or maybe the up-to-date images of the Grinch. Many more folk are like the Grinch by the time New Year is past, and it's a great relief that you don't have to eat all that rich food. No, and you do know that when you visit people who've got leftover Christmas cake and mince pies, they are going to come out just to get rid of them. In January, in our secular society, we'll be told how good or bad the Christmas and New Year period has been, and that is calculated by the amount that we have spent and consumed in relation to years past. The measure of Christmas in a materialist society is very often to do with money. What is not measured, and there seems to be a growing measure for individuals, and that's to do with people. It's to do with cards and messages, families gathered, old friends connected, surprise meetings in shops and streets and houses, and even those letters that drop out of the Christmas cards. More and more we're hearing people say, not what did you get for Christmas, but who did you see at Christmas and New Year? I once thought that this was a kind of age thing. As you get older, material things become of less worth, and it's more to do with the people in your life. It's to do with shared experience and knowing that you're loved and cared for. But I don't know whether it's just me, or are younger and younger people saying exactly the same thing? That more and more people in our materialist society are going, this does not satisfy. It's to do with much more than that. It's to do with people and how we spend our time. I was looking for a funny quotation, and I couldn't resist the quotation from Dr. Seuss. Maybe we as a society are beginning to recognize what we lose if Christmas is just about material things. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? The secular celebration of Christmas is not all negative. Where it has been to do with people rather than things, there is a sense of good in that, because there is a recognition of people rather than material wealth. But what is missing is the real reason for celebrating Christmas. Maybe we are correct in thinking about Christmas and New Year as one celebration, especially if we think of New Year as a kind of fresh start. The story of Christmas was never meant to be a standalone story. As such, it is a nice enough story, but relatively meaningless. The story of Jesus' birth is the beginning of the gospel, and the good news is that Jesus is the new start that we need. So if we're thinking about Christmas and New Year as God's gift, and that gift being to do with a new start, then we're getting it right. In our reading from Luke's Gospel today, we have Mary and Joseph observing the customs and practices of God's people. And in the words of Simeon and Anna, a restating of words that we have heard through the Christmas story. It's not packed away, it's becoming real. And of course, we then wait for the story of Jesus in his ministry to know who this Jesus is going to be. So if we are going to connect the new year and new start into Christmas, what about 2025? There seem to be insurmountable problems in our world. If you've been watching the news through these last couple of weeks, it's been pretty desperate. There hasn't been much light in the news. How do we fix our relationship with this planet? How do we fix the broken relationships within humanity? How can humanity make all things new? Or can humanity even do that kind of a thing? And of course, it's in the words of Simeon that we get the answer. A recognition that salvation comes from God. The story of Christmas is the beginning of the gospel. The gospel is the good news from God that relationships can be mended. That in repairing the relationship between humanity and God, our relationship with each other can be mended. It can be made right. And our relationship with creation can be made right. And that's what we as God's people are called into. As you look at the calendar for 2025, we can think CE or AD, Common Era or Anno Domini. And surely, of all people, we are the Anno Domini people in the year of our Lord. So whatever this year to come holds for us, we know that God will be with us, that this will be the year of our Lord. Because this year, 2024, has also been the year of our Lord. And we have the promise that Jesus goes with us every step of the way. We're going to sing a bit of that story now, as we sing hymn number 331, Unto Us a Boy is Born.
Thank you.
prayers for other people. Rosemary.
Let us join together in prayer for others. Let us lift our hearts in faith to the one who hears all prayers and holds close all who are in need. God, our Father, we thank you for the message of peace that Christmas brings to our distracted world. Give peace among all nations, peace in our land, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts, as we remember the birth of the Holy Child at Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who is the light of the world. Merciful God, we pray for this world in all its brokenness and need, to heal the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to rebuild the nations, to teach us, your children, to work for peace among people, to befriend the lonely, to release the prisoner. And we bring to you in our thoughts this morning the families of all victims of the two plane crashes in recent days in Azerbaijan and South Korea. We pray for the survivors and all who are involved in rescue and recovery. We pray for those who bear the responsibilities of government, that they might hear and respond to your calling for peace and reconciliation, justice and freedom from oppression. We pray for our own communities and especially for those who struggle to find meaning and purpose in their daily lives. We pray for those in pain or distress and for all who are called to alleviate suffering. May they bring your light in the darkness. Father God, we pray that we might seek to become the people you mean us to be, serving you always in the people around us. Give us the voices which speak of your powerful love and your just and gentle rule, which leads to life and satisfaction for our souls. Open our eyes to those with whom we live and work to see where there is need for us to reach out with your loving touch. Have mercy on those who hold anger or resentment in their hearts, which prevent them from fullness of life. Help those who find it hard to forgive others or themselves, and give your healing to those who carry the wounds of broken relationships or bereavement. As we bring to you now in a moment of silence, merciful God, all who we hold in our hearts today. Loving Father, be the centre of all we are, the light by which we walk, the blessing we bring to others. Through Jesus Christ alone, we ask all of this. Amen.
Amen. And so to our closing hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord is come, hymn number 320.
Okay.
the peace of God in your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.